Now boarding, the official boarding area podcast would like to welcome aboard all listeners. This non-stop service includes interviews, reviews, and insights from our talented crew of bloggers. Episode number 28 is now boarding.
Joining Captain Ed Pizza in the cockpit on today's episode is Michael W. Travels from the Michael W. Travels Travel Blog. Make sure those tray tables are stowed, your seats are in the upright position. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the episode.
Welcome back to another episode of the Now Boarding Podcast, where we talk shop with the best minds in travel. Whether you're looking to get to Orlando or Australia, we've got those covered and everything in between. Our guest this week is Michael from the blog Michael W. Travels. And the interesting thing is he has children that have traveled to more countries than I have. So we're going to get into that. But before we bring Michael on, I want to take a quick moment to ask you to help us out by subscribing to the podcast wherever you're listening, like Apple Podcast or Google Podcast. When you subscribe, you'll get access to our show for free as soon as we publish a new episode every week. And we'd love it if you'd leave us a rating and a comment. We read all of your comments, and by subscribing and rating the podcast, you're helping us reach more listeners, which we love to do. With all that, Michael, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Ed.
Great to have you on. You and I have known each other for a number of years. We got to reminisce a little bit before I hit the record button about how much I used to love, still love, pizza from your neck of the woods and bagels and Chinese food. Bagels. God, I love bagels.
Come by. So I'm still... Come by anytime. We could do a little tour, pizzas, bagels, you name it.
I'm very jealous of I'm very jealous of your ability to be able to walk down the street and get good bread and bagels. Really am. But with all that said, let's dig into your travel world. I don't know how you got started in the travel world, so let's tee off there. How did you get into this crazy world?
That's a good question. So growing up, I didn't travel a whole lot. And the funny thing is that my father actually worked for Air France for about 40 years.
Really?
Yeah. And even funnier is that I didn't leave the country until I was about 22, 23 years old. So basically went to Florida trips to see grandparents, stuff like that growing up. Nothing too exciting. Later on in college, a couple of, fun, trips with the guys, so to speak. And then after college, I first left the country to very glamorous Cancun, Mexico. Yeah, exactly. So during that trip, I met folks from around the world, party too, of course, didn't see a whole lot. But I definitely opened my eyes to traveling. And that summer, I took my first trip to Spain, which blew me away, got me really hooked. And from that point forward, I did at least, I would say, two international trips per year. And it increased greatly since those early years of traveling.
Yeah, it must have, based on how much you were telling me your kids have traveled, which I definitely want to dig into. But
absolutely.
It's interesting that you mentioned Cancun, because that's the first place my wife visited outside of the country, and it might be my first, but I was more like, I don't know, like 6 or 7.
There you go.
Yeah, we did some international travel when I was a kid, but not much. And I certainly, got a taste for it and obviously haven't looked back. How long have you been blogging?
So I started my blog in October of 2011. And prior to my blog, I wouldn't say that I blogged, but I used to write on a site called Virtual Tourist, which was kind of like, I guess, pre-day TripAdvisor in the sense of share your tips. It could be... Mm-hmm. Hotels, it could be a strategy, it could be a site you visited, nothing serious, no money involved, just people, a community sharing tips. So I would in some form say that was my first taste of the idea of blogging. I slowly backed off using that site, and I had the idea to start a blog, never pursued it. My wife was pregnant with my older son Lucas, and we weren't traveling. She was on bed rest. She wasn't traveling. We weren't traveling. And I said, I think I'm going to start a blog. And that's kind of how it started.
Yeah. You're probably one of the more tenured bloggers that we've had on here. We certainly have some folks who are longer. I've been on 10, heck, Gary and Brian, and they outdate me by quite a bit. you know, when you first started, were you on Boarding Area right away, or did you have some time where you blogged on your own?
I was on my own. I want to say that my first post is literally a photo. It might have a sentence under it. And I'm not joking. And I said, this is probably not a blog. And I may have did that for 3 or 4 days. Then I expanded and slowly but surely I started writing what I now consider a legitimate post. And I discovered Boarding Area. I'm not sure how or where it came about, probably due to like Twitter or social media. And I became friendly with some of the earlier Boarding Area bloggers. They explained the network a bit to me. And I think I was blogging about a year and a half, maybe two at the most, when I was invited to join Boarding Area.
And here you are 7 years later, still blogging away.
Still blogging away.
And you still enjoy writing about your travels, especially now that you've got a couple of kids in the mix?
So I love – my favorite part of the blog is writing about my travels. The only problem with that is that it's tedious and time-consuming. And I don't do enough of that kind of writing, which I really would like to increase. I share, trip reports. I share the occasional deal. I like to write about the way we get to our trips, with some sort of like – I call it a trip report. It's probably more like a budget report, what miles, what cash, what we used to spend. I like to do product reviews at times, a little everything, travel news, quirky stories, a little everything. But the biggest thing I prefer to do would probably be those trip reports about our travels or our experiences and, things like that.
Yeah, it's amazing how much time a good trip report can take after a trip.
Yeah, the thing is also going through, this day and age with digital photography, you could take how many pictures and during a trip. So going through the photos alone is an awesome chore. I love going through my photos. It's reliving the trip. But then what do I want to write about? What I like to do is I usually kind of like jot down notes of some things that would make a good post or that I think would make a good post. And then I hope to achieve writing about half of those from a trip. And I'm pretty far behind. I am pretty far behind.
Yeah, I can remember a time where I decided I just had to sort of give up on writing everything I wanted to write.
There's
it
no
just
way.
Wasn't going to happen with a day job and kids and all that stuff. But I certainly have fun with what I do write. And I love that you have fun with what you do get to write and you don't regret what you miss. We want to dig in a little bit more to your family.
Sure.
We want to find out what your travel mix looks like and what sort of topics people should turn to you for advice on. We're going to step aside real quick for our first break. We'll be right back on the Now Boarding Podcast with Michael from Michael W. Travels. While we're taking a quick break from the show, I wanted to invite you to listen to my original travel podcast, Miles to Go, where we bring you the latest travel news, tips, and tricks to help you save money and travel better. Each week, we invite 2 to 3 of the best travel bloggers to share their strategies about the world of travel. Check us out on iTunes or wherever else you find great podcasts. Back on the Now Boarding Podcast with Michael from Michael W. Travels. So let's talk a bit about your kids. Make me feel embarrassed again with how many countries your kids have already visited.
All right. So my oldest son, Lucas, he's turning 7 next Friday. He has been to date 54 UN member states. He's also been to Kosovo, Nagorno-Karabakh, which is a breakaway region of Azerbaijan. So now we are banned from going to Azerbaijan due to that stamp. He's been to Transnistria, which is another breakaway region of Belarus. And there's probably 1 or 2 others in the mix. But yeah, 54 UN. My 2-year-old son, Theo, has been to 24 UN member states, some breakaway regions. I love to say that he celebrated his first birthday in Vanuatu. That's a fun one to always bring up. And basically, I feel like when you have kids, it doesn't mean you have to stop traveling. When my wife was pregnant with Lucas, we were told countless times, it's not going to be the same. You're not going to travel. You're not going to go away. And I said, okay. Didn't really respond. Gave a little nod, smile, a little sly remark to Kim. And I think we probably proved them wrong without really intending to. Just really keeping up with the things we love to do and, including the kids in that, our hobby. Travel is, it's a passion. It's a hobby. It's something we love to do. And the kids have grown to love it, too. And it's, it's become a real family thing. And it's an expectation that we're going to go away.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I have 2 young kids as well. They're older than yours. our kids expect to travel. I think travel is definitely different once you have kids, but I think people just think that you have to compromise. I hear so many folks that say, you know, I can't wait until my kids are old enough to travel. Oh. And my reply is, well, I mean, they're breathing, right?
I cringe, honestly, when I hear that. And I say to friends, coworkers, you know, whoever it might be, but when is that time? You know, I wasn't personally growing up, I wasn't a good flyer. I get motion sickness. I wasn't good with this. I think the earlier you start, your body regulates more to it. You also learn to handle change and situations that you can't control, new foods. And why wait when you could start right away and just jump right in if that's what you like to do? Now, if you don't like to travel, then, well, don't travel. But if that's something you love to do, why let the kids hold you back? You might have to change some things you do. You're not going partying and clubbing, obviously. You could go to a bar, though. We've been to bars all around the world with the kids, you know, whatever it might be. But, you know, you can travel with kids.
Yeah, and I think the earlier you get them started, the better they understand what the social norms Absolutely. Are around it. So do you travel mostly for work or for pleasure?
I travel 100% for pleasure. The only work involving travel, wouldn't even call it work, would be writing a blog post when I'm traveling, which blogging isn't my job. So I wouldn't call it work. It's something I enjoy doing. It's more, if you want to call it a hobby, so to speak. But no, all my travel is for fun and pleasure.
It's a beautiful thing. So let's dive in a little bit into the areas where folks should turn to you Sure. for advice. So when I think about, you know, there's a broad world out there. If somebody's just getting started, they're trying to figure out, you know, where to get good information, you know, what should they turn to Michael W. Travels for?
You're going to want to come to me if you want to know the best way to travel with your kids at a young age. I mean, my oldest son will be 7, so I can't really tell you what it's like traveling with an older child, but I can definitely tell you probably some do's and don'ts, things you're not going to want to lug around that you're never going to use on the trip, ideas of where you can stay that'll maximize, you know, your dollar or your miles, you know, where you're going to have a good experience still. In terms of where to go, I've been to 93 UN member states. I've been to a good portion of the world at this point, and I read about travel, so I could tell you probably about destinations. I might be able to tip you in the direction of a guide, which we don't frequently use. I've been doing the airline mile, you know, hotel points thing for years. I wouldn't call myself an expert in that category, but I'm highly knowledgeable about it. We use a lot of miles for our trips, a lot of points for our trips. We also mix in Airbnbs. We stay in hostels as a family. So all along those lines, a lot of those kind of things.
That's a pretty broad stroke, and I would assume, having had a few years and 2 kids under your belt, that you've probably gotten pretty proficient at the family travel side.
I hope so. Sure hope so.
I feel like I'm still – we've been traveling with kids for just about 12 years now, and I still feel like I learn lessons the hard way.
But you know what? A hard lesson is a good lesson sometimes, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, it's better than sitting in an office. You know, even the worst travel experience is better than sitting in an office.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, we're going to step aside real quick for our final break, and we're going to bring Michael back for some lightning questions before we let him get back to family travel. We'll be right back on the Now Boarding Podcast. While we're taking a break from the show, I wanted to share a new piece of my travel gear that's a perfect fit for me. I'm always looking for ways to travel lighter. I hate checking a bag. When it gets cold out, that can be quite a challenge. I have a bunch of cold weather destinations that I visit on a yearly basis. And taking a 5-day business trip to Edmonton in January means my carry-on starts to burst at the seams with sweaters and other warm clothing. I've been hunting for a vest to travel with, and I think I found the perfect one. Bluffworks released a vest a few months ago that I just received in the mail, and I've worn it out on a couple of test trips, and I'm definitely ready to say it's warm and it's lightweight, which is table stakes for any gear that I travel with. The vest also has 7 pockets, which means I can keep my phone and my passport and headphones and all the other necessities right where I need them. Bluffworks has a complete line of clothing that's geared towards travelers. Think, you know, zippered pockets right where you need them to keep things like passports safe, easy to wash without crazy special instructions, because I'm pretty bad at washing stuff, and they come out of your suitcase looking good. Check out the full line of gear at bluffworks.com. That's BluffWorks.com. All right, back to wrap up this week's episode on the Now Boarding Podcast. We've got some lightning questions from Michael, as we always do. And I know you have so many different places that you visited, you may not have a favorite. But give me one of your most favorite places you visited.
Sure. So yeah, it's definitely hard to pinpoint a favorite. But if I could go back to one place or take my kids to one place that I've already been, I'd love to revisit Easter Island, which is a very unique destination. It's a small island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. They have the Moai statues all around, spectacular views. It's just an outstanding place to go, and I recommend that everyone go there at some point in their life.
Yeah, I've had one trip booked and one trip almost booked and still haven't made it down, so it's on my list as well.
It's well worth going to. You won't forget it.
All right, how about a favorite credit card?
Favorite credit card. So this year I've been using actually the U.S. Bank Altitude Reserve quite a bit due to the 3x points with Apple Pay. Mm-hmm. And that's something I never thought I would actually use, but I really love not pulling out my wallet and just pulling out the phone, and, you know, it's great. And I also rely on the Ink business card quite a bit still when I go to office supply stores, 5x points. I'm buying gift cards for my gas purchases, my Amazon.com purchases, hotels.com, and a slew of other kind of things to take advantage of that. Excuse me. Otherwise, that's probably my top two that I use currently.
Yeah, I still use my Ink card quite a bit. That 5X on office supplies is that's my go-to.
Let's hope it never goes away.
I keep clicking my heels together every time it works.
Right?
All right, so how about a favorite airline?
Favorite airline? I can't say I really have a favorite. Favorite flight experience was probably business class on Singapore Air, which was about in the summer of 2012. It was myself, Kim, and Lucas, and one other passenger in the cabin for our flight. And
awesome.
We were definitely outnumbered in staff. And it was almost to the point of annoyingness, but like super cool. I mean, when they're offering us an extra business seat for Lucas, and we're like, no, thank you. What does that say about the airline? That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I basically fly with whoever has the best deal, whoever I could find the flight with miles with. We fly on flights that are, we have to transfer whatever it takes to get there. It doesn't really matter. We don't fly business or premium cabin much. We do enjoy it. Like, I'm sure everyone loves it, but it's more to me about the value of a lot of trips. So I want my miles to be stretched. And it might not be the best dollar value to like book economy, but I need now four seats. So four seats is a lot of miles if I'm flying business. That's probably going to wipe me out or, you know, come close at some point. I mean, so.
Yeah, I don't think there's a wrong way to redeem miles. I understand that, you know, maybe you don't want to redeem them for standard awards, all that stuff. But I think if you're getting out there and you're traveling and you're finding what works for you and or your family, like, hey, have at it.
Exactly. And I mean, so this past summer, we were away for a month, and I booked, you know, economy awards for quite a bit. We had, I'd say about 10 flights, give or take, during the trip. I don't recall. Some we had to pay for. There was no mileage options, or I didn't have the mileage required, you know, lack of availability. But if I could find a flight, and we booked a flight on Delta, with Delta, on Aeroflot, which took us from Belarus to Azerbaijan with a stop in Moscow. Now, that sounds pretty inconvenient. It was about a 10-hour stop in, maybe 6-hour stop in Moscow, but it became a great experience. We slept in a small airport pod hotel during that layover, and it was an awesome experience in itself. And it made things, you know, really fun, and the kids, well, Lucas loved it. He thought it was hilarious that we were sharing. Myself and him fitting in a pod together was pretty tight squeeze, but it was only like $40. So, hey, you know, and it made it really fun. And experiences like that, you really can't price a dollar amount on. It just came up. We didn't expect it. We didn't plan it. And yeah, so, you know, right. The miles could bring you lots of different values.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another example, I'll bring one other up, was that last winter break. So not this past one, but two winter breaks ago, I booked a pretty bad redemption with Delta Miles to get home from Austin, Texas. There was nothing available. So I think it was about 63,000 miles for three seats, turned into a bump of about 7 hour delay, getting us $2,700 in Delta vouchers. So I think it was a pretty sweet value in the end. And that got us a good amount of our trip to Paris, to France, this past winter break. So I guess those 63,000 miles actually went a pretty long way in the end, unexpectedly. So you never know what you're going to get in terms of value.
Yeah, no, I agree. That does sound like they went a lot further than you were expecting.
Yeah, it's a fun story, and I was praying it would happen again, but that was the one and only awesome bump I've ever had, really, that I gladly took.
Well, you mentioned Airbnb and hostels earlier, yeah. So is that the appropriate answer for favorite hotel chains?
We enjoy staying in a nice hotel. Also, we stayed in Kimpton this year, and I was really blown away by the hospitality, the comfortable bed, the beautiful design of the room. I mean, we stayed in the room longer for no reason because we just enjoyed the room. I do enjoy Intercontinentals on occasion with, the IHG free night, which I believe now has been downgraded. So I think I have one left for any in the world,
yeah,
which is kind of a bummer, yeah. But still, I think it's still a pretty solid deal. I stayed in some great Radisson Blues, but in terms of favorite, whatever gets me the bright deal, if I have the free nights to use, I'm going to go for the best I could find. But we're open, we'll stay in a $20 Airbnb followed up by a $400 free hotel night, during a trip.
Yeah. We haven't jumped into the Airbnb world just yet, but, I do hear it frequently, especially for family travelers. And, Kimpton's not a name you hear a ton, but I do hear it fairly passionately from a good number of our fellow bloggers.
Well, yeah, I have a limited experience with the chain, but I was really impressed. And like you said, it's pretty small, but I would definitely like to do another stay in the near future. And yeah, and getting back to Airbnb, it's definitely a great option for family travel because you're going to get a lot for your money in probably a good location opposed to a hotel. And you're going to fit in, the amount, depending on your family size, you're going to fit in your family in that space. Now they have changed a bit, I feel as a site, so to speak. When Airbnb first started out, it was more like staying in a home where our first day was in Singapore when Lucas was about 9 months old. It was in like this beautiful home in Singapore, French guy, Taiwanese wife, super hospitable, had breakfast with them. They brought back butter from their chateau in France. Now it's more like a business, I feel like, but there's still good values.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assumption. A fair description, if you will.
Yeah, but it's still a great value, I think, in the end.
All right, so for a guy that's gone as deeply as you have with as many countries as you've traveled to, final question, what's still on your bucket list?
Bucket list. That's a term that I just don't like. I'm not planning to kick the bucket anytime soon, but I do have a lengthy list of places to visit because I've been to, like I mentioned, 93 UN member states. My goal would be to visit the world. Is it realistic? I don't know, but I need to go to India. That's been very high on my list for a long time. Kim's been kind of hesitant to go there, but I think I'm kind of convincing her at this point that we're going to go there sooner than later. Another destination I've been dying to go to is also Iceland, which is super close. And we haven't gone because it's so close to home. I believe it's like a 5-6 hour flight. So basically I could do California or Iceland. I've been saving it kind of like thinking like, well, the weather's got to be right. I want to drive the ring road there and, not miss out on much. So that'll be coming up, I'm sure, within the next couple of years, I'd hope. I'm only 5 countries shy of seeing all of Europe, so I want to bang out the rest of the Balkans. I have 4 countries in the Balkans plus Iceland left to do. So that's probably like the things I want to do, but there's also, Sri Lanka, there's so much of the world. It's so hard to pick one. I could go on probably. We could chat. Yeah. We could have a whole podcast about where should we go next, Good name for a podcast.
I agree with that.
Where should we go next?
I agree with that. All right. Well, hey, I really appreciate all your time hopping on the show with us, talking to our listeners. When you're not hopping on the podcast with me or traveling with the family, tell folks where they can find you.
So I blog daily at michaelwtravels.com. You could check me out on Twitter, which I use decent amount of time. And I post daily to Instagram. That's at Michael W. Travels. I started actually a secondary link to share my food because I'm really into food of the unhealthy variety, sadly. so that would be at Michael W. Travels Food. Very creative name I came up with for it. And otherwise, I'm on Facebook, which is, I don't know the full URL, but it's Michael W. Travels, you know, same idea, basically. And that's pretty much it for social media.
Yep. And guys, we'll have all that stuff in the show notes for you to tag onto as well. Michael, thanks a bunch for being on the
show.
Thanks
for having me. I really appreciate it. I had a great time chatting about travel.
It was great to catch up with Michael this week. We've still got over 50 boarding area bloggers to catch up with. If you have questions for any of your favorite boarding area bloggers, be sure to drop me a line. My email address is ed@pizzainmotion.com, and you can find me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that fun stuff, @pizzainmotion. Until next week, I'll be finding cool places to travel. We'll see you soon.